Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast for our match preview of West Ham v Aston Villa. If you are new to this channel, make sure you are subscribing, smash a like on this episode, and most importantly, comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. It goes off like a fan forum every single episode, so chat away to other Villa fans and I start the conversation and then you can just carry the conversation on of what you watch in this episode then. So this episode is brought to you by SofaScore, the quickest football app going. You'll get live scores straight to your device quicker than anywhere else. You'll also be able to see the team lineups as soon as they get announced as well. And you'll also get to see a lot of really cool data, player average positions. You'll get to see their heat maps. You'll get to see individual player performances. So if that's something that you want, something you think you'd get a lot of joy out of, then you can either scan the code that's on the screen or you can click the link that's in the description, download it for free, and that's your way of saying thank you to me for watching this channel. And yeah, so you can help the channel out by simply just clicking that link, downloading it, and up the Villa. Right, so last night, Ajax, gotta say, what a night. What a night. What an atmosphere. It was so good. It was loud. It was passionate. It was brilliant. And the performance was just what we needed. It was cool, calm, collected, got the job done, showed what we're all about, control the game, good possession, good individual performances from some of the players that, you know, haven't been playing week in, week out. Very rare. Well, we weren't tested, were we, really, apart from Cash off the line and Martinez making that wonderful save. So, brilliant European night under the lights at Villa Park. I thought some of the players were absolutely brilliant. I thought Diaby was electric. Really liked to see Morgan Rodgers. I thought Timo Rabunen, when he came on, looked composed. Cash was brilliant. Carlos was great. Luis was just Douglas Luiz in the middle. McGinn was sort of, he'd been wound up and he was just away, wasn't he? He was just energetic, he was strong, he was powerful. Watkins, brilliant goal from Watkins. Bailey was scintillating, he was dynamic, he was pacey, he was positional awareness, he was there, he was defending well. So all round a really good European performance. So if we have a little look at how that performance went from a Villa point of view then, so we can see here on the attack momentum bar that the Aston Villa are the green, and it was just pretty dominant from Villa, wasn't it? It was pretty much all Villa. There was big spikes in there. There was long spells of Villa sort of containing and just dominating Ajax. And once we got that footing in that game, once we started to get that stronghold with our territorial advantage, we were just far too strong for Ajax, and they couldn't really live with us, really. They couldn't live with our shape. They couldn't live with how powerful we were at times. Ajax had more possession, 54%. Villa had 13 shots, 8 on target. They had 2 shots and 1 on target. We had 86% passing accuracy with 316 accurate passes to 369 of theirs. We played 49% of our long balls. We had 12 tackles, 3 interceptions and 11 clearances. And if I really just want to show you now the average positions from a Villa point of view, you can get all of this from SofaScore yourself. So when we talk about Villa's formation, Villa's system, how we want to look, then we really want to see on a piece of paper what we're going to look like. And again, if I was to draw Villa's formation, this is what it would look like. So that tells me that it's working well. Everybody's in their specific role. We've got the 4-2-2-2, so in essence, it's a 4-4-2. We've got the double pivot of Douglas Luiz and John McGinn. So McGinn's heat map absolutely everywhere. Douglas Luiz generally tends to be more on that one side. But what I really liked is the position of Rodgers and the position of Leon Bailey, which allowed us to have more control, and I think this is brilliant. So we saw Bailey sort of on that wide right area, we got Rodgers on the left, and then we'd got Diaby, and we'd also got Watkins up top. So, you know, the formation worked really well. Here we can see Ajax, a lot of their players that were inside their own half, which is down to Villa sort of pressing and being strong. So the average positions are very good from a Villa point of view, and it really showed that we had more control. And yeah, I like to say if Villa are in control, then we're doing well in games, because Unai is all about Aston Villa being in control, dominating games. But there was one thing, Villa fans, and I know a lot of you have asked for this, and we've never seen it. And is this the start of a new Moussa Diaby role? Second half, Moussa Diaby went up to that left-hand side. So generally when Diaby's played, he's always been up top with Watkins. So when he's up top with Watkins, he's dropping into that box midfield. So you'll have a box midfield of Diaby. You'd have it, say, of McGinn, Luiz. And then on that left-hand side, you'd have Tielemans. And then wide right, you'd have Leon Bailey. So that's generally how his position has worked when he's been up top. He has sometimes gone on that right-hand side. But second half, Moussa Diaby went to that left-hand side. We'd got Tielemans and Duran up top with Bailey out wide. And it looked frightening. It looked electric. It looked... oh, it just looked brilliant. So this is what it looked like. And with that, it had balance. It had balance. And it had balance because it is technically a generic 4-4-2, isn't it? Because you've got your two wide players and your two up top. But our system's a little bit different, is that we want these to come... well, we want this one to stay out wide. So Bailey stays out wide. Tielemans will drop in there. You'd have Watkins or Duran. And then the player that sits in this position generally is a little bit more inside. But it just suited Diaby. I felt like he was picking up the ball in space and driving. And I loved him in there. I thought it was brilliant. So maybe that's something that we can see an adaptation in games. Maybe that's something that we can see moving forward in the Premier League. But it was something that I really liked and I really want to see more of, basically. I loved it. So that new Diaby role, sign me up for it. Sign me up for the new Moussa Diaby role, because I am all here for it. So I wanted to do a bit of Ajax chat because it was a big game for Villa, and we're now into the draw for the quarterfinal. We'll find out who we're going to be playing in the semi-final as well. So the map to the final will be mapped out today. So that's interesting and exciting. We've got to turn our attention now to West Ham. Now, West Ham, big game. And the beauty of playing in Europe is that you forget about the last Premier League game, you do well in your European game, and then you're full of confidence going into your next game. So we're full of confidence going into it. West Ham are full of confidence going into it because they've had a big win as well. So we'll now start chatting about West Ham then. So Premier League era then. So we have played 49 times. We've had 21 draws. We've won 14 and West Ham have won 14. So it's pretty even. We've had 4 away wins and they've had 8 home wins. They are currently 7th in the league. We are 4th. We have won 17 and they've won 12. They've drawn 7. We've drawn 4. We've lost 7 and they've lost 9. We are scoring 2.1 goals per game still. And they are scoring 1.6. They're conceding 1.8 and we're conceding 1.5. Form guide, quite good for Villa still. You know, 3 wins in there out of 5. They've got 2 wins and a draw. Right, West Ham. Now, where any West Ham fans watching this, they're probably going to disagree with what I say, which is fine. But I'm very, very surprised with West Ham's willingness now to want David Moyes out. I think perspective is needed. And I think looking at where you are is definitely needed. You know, West Ham currently sits 7th in the Premier League, 3 European quarterfinals in a row, and they want Moyes gone. They won a European trophy last season. And I think sometimes you've got to be careful what you wish for, because I look at that Premier League table and I see West Ham seventh, and I think, who do you expect to finish higher than out of the teams that are currently above them? And I don't really think there's probably that many that they would look at and think, we should be finishing above you. So I just think Moyes is doing a great job. You know, I've said numerous times about Villa that I would prefer us to play shit and win than play good football and lose. And I think the Premier League is such a fine line of finding that system that works for you. There's only so many elite coaches in the Premier League, and Aston Villa currently have one of them. We've got a manager that can play beautiful football. He's got an identity, he's got a style, and he wants to play possession-based football. Now, David Moyes has got a team that wants to play counter-attacking football. Though some of those players are set up to play counter-attacking football, you get your best out of Jared Bowen in transition. Would you get your best out of Jared Bowen if you were playing possession-based football? I'd probably say no. So I look at West Ham and I think I like them as a club, but just be careful what you wish for, because if Moyes goes and you get this attacking manager that comes in and you start losing games and, you know, you don't start challenging as well in Europe and you start dropping down the league because you're just playing open attacking football and the Premier League's so unforgiving, then I don't know. I mean, I'm a Villa fan commenting on it, but West Ham are seventh in the Premier League. They are won a European trophy last season. They're going good in Europe this season. All for the football being a little bit not that attacking. I don't know. It's a tough one, but I just think for me, you know, I look at both teams, Villa and West Ham, and think, you know, we've both been relegated to the Championship. So when you stumble across a formula that works, that does good, then stick with it and go with it, because they're doing well. West Ham are doing well. And I just feel like, you know, the angst around Moyes, he needs a bit of credit, man. He won a trophy last season and seventh in the Premier League. I don't know. West Ham fans, let me know. Let me know if you disagree. I know a lot of them would disagree with that, because I do watch a lot of West Ham content and they really don't want him to be there. But, you know, again, he turned it on in Europe. Was it 5-0? So he is there. But I think what he does when he goes into games is I think he looks at it and thinks, who's the better team? If I go for it against these, am I going to get caught or vice versa? So I think he manages the Premier League as well. So if we have a look then at both teams, then we have got, this is how Aston Villa look generally territorially. So Aston Villa in the blue have most of the ball in these areas. The grey are contested and the red are areas where the opposition have most of the ball against us. So you can see that we're building up well from the back to the halfway line. We get into the grey contested areas where it's nip and tuck. And we get a lot of joy out wide on that left-hand side. And the opposition are being pressed out of the game and not having much of a possession-based game against Aston Villa. As opposed to West Ham, this is where the opposition are having most of the ball, which is the red. The grey is contested. And the blue is where they are also getting most of the joy in the games as well. It looks grim, but it's going to look grim, because West Ham are a counter-attacking, fast and direct transitional team. As you can see here, their style is fast and direct. So they are the best at being fast and direct, and they are the best at doing what they do. They are getting more passes per sequence, and they are quicker than any other team in the Premier League at transitioning from defence to attack. Aston Villa are in the slow and intricate, with more passes per sequence, with a slower speed as well. So you can tell that the two styles are different, and this is what this game's going to bring. It's going to bring Aston Villa's possession-based football and West Ham's counter-attacking football. They're going to merge together, and let's see how it goes, because they are two teams that have got different styles, but both have unique ways of going about things. So if we now have a look at the average positions then, so we can see this is the average positions from their game in Europe. They played with a four at the back, generally. They've got two holding midfielders, three attackers and one striker up top. You can see that the heat map from Koufal on that sort of right-hand side. You've got Creswell on the left. Started the game with Antonio. Caduce had a fantastic game when he came on. He absolutely ripped it up. So maybe he's going to be in David Moyes' thoughts going into this game. But, you know, with West Ham, they will pose problems for Aston Villa because they've got a lot of height in their team. They are good off set pieces. We seem to be a little bit defending set pieces. On transition with Bowen, Paquetá's a really good player. Really like him in the middle. Ward-Prowse is a big threat. So they've got threats all over. And they're going to pose Villa certain problems. We've got a new little feature now. X-Value from Soccerment. You're going to see a lot more of these in the summer. So here we have now, this is Aston Villa's average positions for the whole season with personnel. So as you can see, it's generally how we would draw our formation on a piece of paper. You've got the two holders, you've got two either side of the double pivot, you've got a striker who's dropping in to make that box midfield, you've got the left winger, left fullback who's more advanced, and here we have the West Ham average position of the season. So two holders, three players in front of that, and then you've got a striker up top as well. We have got some more beautiful little stats here of Aston Villa's highest performers this season. So Ollie Watkins is leading the way for Aston Villa with a non-penalty XG of 16.86, and he has scored 16 Premier League goals. And we've got Jared Bowen leading the way for West Ham with a non-penalty XG of 10.67. We can also see some nice little cool graphics here as well. So you can see that the darker line here is the XG created per game. So you can see that they had a real dip off against United, Arsenal and Nottingham Forest. And then when they've had games where they've done better, they've had more of a spike, more XG, and they're sort of conceding more as well. And then now that's sort of balanced off as opposed to Aston Villa. So the darker line is our XG created. That dropped off massively against Spurs. But generally, it's been high. We've been creating vast amount of chances, which has been really good for Villa in a Villa point of view. Here, we can see some really cool stats as well. So you can see that the circles that are brighter show the players that have more of a threat for West Ham. And then here, you can see the brighter ones are when Aston Villa players have more of a threat as well. So you've got Moreno with a non-penalty XG of 0.13. You've got Cash 0.19. We've got Bailey 0.33. Ramsey 0.24. Zaniolo's really high of 0.38. And Watkins 0.61. So we're going to see more from these guys. And we're going to just, as we go into the transfer stuff, we're going to see a lot more data coming out from X-Value and Soccerment. And here is the Premier League table. And this is what I was saying about West Ham. Like, seventh in the league, doing really well. They are doing really, really well. So my thoughts sort of going into the game then, I think it's a tough game for Villa because they're going to be confident West Ham. But we know that we can get at West Ham. We know that we nullified their threat in the reverse fixture. And I think Villa will just go into it to try and impose our style. I think it's going to be quite a tight game. I think it'll be a tight game with not that many chances. And I think it's whoever takes their chances, really. So let's do the predicted lineup then, yeah? So we'll do the predicted lineup and we will have a look at how I think Villa are going to set up in this game. And then we will go from there and where we feel like the threat is going to lie from a Villa point of view. Right, so predicted lineup time. I'm going to go, shock, Martinez in goal. Consat comes back in the team for me at right back. We're going to have Pau. We are going to have tough one on left back. We're going to have Longley. Really liking Longley at the minute. And at left back, we are going to go with... We're going to go Luka Dean. At left back for me in this one. I just think his delivery will be more pinpoint accuracy. And I want more control. We know Moreno Unai says he acts like a winger. So, and he says that they are a little bit different in what they offer. So with that being said, I think I'm going to go with Luka Dean. We're going with Douglas Luiz in the double pivot. And we are going with a Premier League start. And I'm not sure. I don't think he's never had a Premier League start, has he? Timmy Rabunim. Interesting, when Tielemans came on, he went straight up top with Duran. Didn't go out wide on that left-hand side, which he has played there before. He went straight next to Duran, which I think is Tielemans' best position in this Villa system. In the double pivot, I don't think Tielemans has got the coverage to play in this position. And I think we need a specialist in this position. With Konsa back in there, with Longley, Pau, and more of a defensive-minded Luka Dean, the defence will have more balance, I think. I don't want it being exposed. Tim will be operating in that area. It's going to be a battle in that midfield because they've got Alvarez, Souček, Ward-Prowse, really good, savvy central midfielders. So we need a specialist in there, and I'm going with Tim Irabunim. Next, we've got some injuries, you know. We've got Ramsey. We don't know where Ramsey is, etc. So we're not sure what's going to be going on there. But next up, we are going to go with... I'm going to do the strikers next. I think Watkins will play. And I'm going to go with Youri Tielemans partnering Ollie Watkins. So I think that's going to add the threat from the press of Watkins and Tielemans. Tielemans will be dropping into that box midfield area. So I feel comfortable with Tielemans covering in this area as well. On the left-hand side, the options we've got are Rodgers. Because we've got no McGinn to go in there. We've got no Ramsey. We don't know where Ramsey is. So, the option is Rodgers or Diaby. And I'm going to go Diaby. I really liked what I saw against Ajax with him in there. And I think his defensive work was really good in there as well. So, I think we've just got to attack. We've just got to be controlled, but be attacking at the same time. When McGinn's not in the team, we're going to need to have a lot more positional awareness from Tielemans and a Diaby dropping in there anyway. But I think because you've got Diaby in there and Luka Dean will be going in there, but he's not as sort of running to that byline like a Moreno, we're going to get a little bit more cover with Digne in there, which I think is needed. We'll probably see Luiz going operating into those areas as well. So, for me, this is my team. Let me know what you think about my team. I think it's dynamic, electric, pacey, powerful. It just oozes silky vibes for me. And I really like it. So, let me know what you think of my team. Because we've got the injury to Ramsey and McGinn, what I don't want to see us doing is reverting to something like that. And then we've got to have somebody else in there that's maybe not sort of... It's just weakening the team elsewhere. So with that, with Tielemans there, with Irabunim there, it doesn't weaken the team moving forward. If Duran has to play, then we know he's going to be chaotic. So stuff's going to happen. Like, when Durant comes on, stuff happens. So if it's Durant, then I'm fine because his goal was brilliant. So I think I've covered everything on the episode. I think I have. I wanted to do the reaction to Ajax, talk about West Ham, talk about Villa, predicted lineup. I think I've covered it all. No editing, straight through. There we go. Shout out to Sweet Sonics on X, who has been helping me with my delivery of somewhat. And, you know, I'm always trying to improve. I'm trying to improve my delivery on this episode and on this channel because I'm not media trained. I've started a channel and grew it. And so he's helped me a little bit with my thinking and a lack of saying certain words that make it look a bit not great. So hopefully I've delivered this one pretty good. So yeah, right. So score prediction, I'm back in Villa, 2-0. 2-0 Villa win. Controlled, comfortable, got the job done. Diaby goal, let's go. So after this episode then, depends when you're watching it, we'll be going live for the Europa Conference League draw. We've got opposition preview out tomorrow, and then we'll have match reaction for the West Ham game straight after the game as well. We'll have the debrief, and then we'll go into an international break. We are going to do watch-alongs for England. We've hopefully got Watkins still in the England squad. We've got Conte in the England squad. We are going to be covering the Euros in the summer as well, so we'll build it up and just start doing some watch-alongs for England, and I'm planning on doing a lot of stuff for the Euros as well. So cheers, everyone who's been watching. If you have enjoyed it, if you've got something from it and you want to say thanks, then download SofaScore, scan the QR code that's on the screen or click the link that's in the description. Helps me out, helps the channel out. And cheers for your support. Up the Villa. Oh, one more thing. Jonah, the little lad on the fan cam, go and give that some love. Go and give them little shorts some love. And make sure you go and subscribe to us and watch us on TikTok. And just, yeah, go and watch that. Because he's absolutely brilliant. I absolutely love him. Great little kid. And he absolutely loves the Villa. So go and show that one. What I'll do is I'll put it on the end of this. So just keep watching and it'll come up. So yeah, it's so funny. I loved it. So yeah, up the Villa.